So today is August the 6th, 2014. I'm Leslie McCartney with Barbara Solarius, and thank you, Howard Fix, for letting us come to your home to speak to you today. And we're just outside of Northway, about a mile?
It's a mile from
Northway Junction.
From the Northway Junction.
Great. So Howard, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you originally born and where are you from?
I originally was from Virginia. And I went into the Army and met some people that was from Alaska, you know, when I was in the service. And we decided that I would come up here. So I came up in 64.
And you drove up the Alcan?
Yeah, drove up the Alcan.
Okay.
Gravel all the way. And I went to Valdez and built that small boat harbor that's there in 64 and 65. And then I came to Northway to do another job, and I stayed and never left.
What was the job in Northway?
The TACAN, the VOR for the FAA.
Mm-hmm.
Built that VOR there.
What did you find special, or what did you like about Northway?
It was just remote. It was just out of the... you know, it was out of the big rush city stuff, man. Which I don't like the cities.
And did you find this spot right away, where you are here?
No. I lived down on the Northway Road for 20 some years, and my wife died of cancer, and then me and Janie got married, and this was her native allotment here, so we moved up here.
Right. And what year was that then?
89 is when we first got together.
Okay. And how long has it been in Janie's allotment?
Since 71.
Since 71, since the land claim.
Yeah, since the land claim.
Wow. Yeah. And you have a huge garden outside.
Yeah. Yeah. We have another garden up there was full of strawberries. And we've got rhubarb and strawberries up there. And we've got strawberries below the woodshed here, too.
Right.
Is gardening something that you did before you got here, before you came to Alaska?
Yeah.
So when you were in Virginia growing up, did you garden?
Oh, yeah, My granddaddy was a really real gardener.
Uh-huh.
And he was Cherokee. Some Cherokee. So
just continued the family.
Yeah.
Tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us what Northway was like when you first arrived.
There was no frame houses. All the houses was logs, and very few. There's none of them left anymore. Maybe one. I think Ben Albert's cabin is still there, and that's the only one that's still left.
They all just kind of got torn down and rebuilt over the years, or?
Yeah, in 1980, we built 20 log. Of the big log houses down there now, and then there was a couple more housing projects after that, and they were frame and foam walls and you know whatever, and but before that there was just that few log houses and that was it.
Right, and you had children at the time then. Howard, did you have children that went to school in North Bay at all at the time?
Oh, yeah. And we've got five girls. That
did you?
Went,
yeah. And was there quite a few children in the schools at that time? Was it a fairly large population compared to today?
Well, in 76, we started the new high school. I built that the whole
did
thing.
You?
And... they went to, there was some grade schools that they went to before that, but my girls wasn't old enough to be in high school. And when I got the school built, they became at age of high school. So they got to go to high school here.
Oh, so they didn't have to go to Tok or be sent away to boarding school?
No.
Oh,
no,
wonderful.
They graduated from this high school here.
Right. And are they all still in the area?
Sherry runs the post office, yes. And the rest of them is in Tok. Okay.
And it sounds like you've been involved in a lot of the construction that's occurred in the Northway area since you got here?
Yeah, almost all that. Well, the last houses that was built, the foam ones, I didn't have anything that... do anything in them, but the one batch, the first batch of houses that was built, it was 20.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I did them. Mm.
The log ones.
The log ones.
Yeah. And they built them, why? Just because they'd be warmer and not as fire hazard and people needed more housing?
Well, the families were starting to grow and there just wasn't no housing, you know. There were some of them houses over there that had 20 people in them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one room.
Yeah.
And he was getting... So they... And it was some housing, HUD or IRA or somebody.
Some kind of program
one of them programs, yeah.
Right. And it also bring, I guess, better sanitation into more water, just... different living standards, I suppose, when they built the new houses?
Well, they didn't have bathrooms or running water in these houses.
Oh, okay.
The first ones.
Right.
But they had a good well. They had a good well, so they got...
good water.
Yeah. Now they're on the hall system, so they're...
Right. And what was it, Lyle yesterday was telling about bringing the phone lines down in the 1980s, the cables, that there weren't, before that, there was very limited phone access down into there, but the 1980s, they brought the phone cables down.
Yeah, there was no phone at all.
Right, yeah. So do you hunt and trap then too, Howard?
Yeah, I see there's a picture of me with a bunch of fur over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I trapped, I still trap beaver, but I don't trap the other fur now. But I trap, I mean, that's the way I took care of my family.
Right.
There was no work very much.
Right. So where did you trap then? What areas did you go to?
Well, out where the refuge is now.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a refuge then. And I had two cabins out there. One, it's up Moose Creek a ways, and then one over at Jottaman Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And when the land claims came through, well, we claimed them. Mm-hmm. So we still have that.
Oh.
Still have those 40 acre.
Right. And so is your family still trapped out there?
Yeah, Sherry does.
Yeah, because Sherry mentioned that she's still trapped, so it's the same area then.
Yeah, she still traps it.
Mm-hmm.
All the way into the clear over on the other side of the Black Hills.
Right. So the establishment of the refuge didn't really affect you guys because you could actually make a claim there?
Well, we had the 40 acres there, so it was actually private land within the refuge.
Right.
And we just built a new cabin on the one last year, because
mm-hmm.
the bear kind of ate the other one.
Mm. Yes, they do.
So how did you learn to trap? How did you get started trapping?
I trapped when I was young, you know,
when you were in Virginia?
Skunks and possums and raccoons down in Virginia. And it was a way to... You know, if you go out and catch a skunk, and they were worth $3 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way to, you know, when I was growing up, to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you started trapping, were you using a dog team or a snow machine? How were you running the trap line?
Snow machine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
About how long was your trap line?
I probably had 200 miles total. Mm-hmm. Because I was going, I'd go down the highway and go way in and go down this way two or three places and go way back toward Ladue. Mm-hmm. And then when I took off, I went all the way up the Stover Creek and all the way around the edges of the Black Hills and back down to the cabin I'd make. Then I had another trail that took off again and went back up and went up the Cat Trail all the way into Jodiman. Mm-hmm. And then made a giant loop over there. Right? So I had probably 200 miles total.
So did you get a whole variety of species? A bunch of different animals?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any difference in the animal population over the years that you were trapping then, Howard? Like, did you see any increase or decrease or just the natural cycles?
There's more beaver.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot more beaver now than there were then.
Is that because the water's gone up?
No, I just think they've gradually
the population's just growing.
Just kept getting and I found that if you catch some beaver out of a house, then they'll multiply. Mm-hmm. If you don't catch anything out of there, they just stay the same. Mm-hmm. I found that. Learned that. So by catching a couple beaver out of a house, next year they've got two houses. And if you don't trap them, then it's still just one house there. They don't crowd themselves out for some reason. And then when you catch a couple, then they all have babies. So there's a little like 10 more of them there then.
So what area do you catch the beavers in now? Is it a smaller area? You said you had 200 miles before. Is it a smaller area now?
Just a smaller area, but it's in the within the refuge, right in there.
Yeah.
And then where did you sell your furs?
The beaver, I sent them out and get them tanned and sell them to the natives for some.
And the other furs that you used to catch, I'm assuming you used to catch lynx and marten and...
There was fur buyers that came around.
Yeah.
Dean Wilson was one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've interviewed him.
Yeah, he was real good at it. I bought one year for him. Here. Because he covered a pretty big area.
Mm-hmm. So. Where was he out of? I don't know.
He was Lavelle's brother.
Oh, yes, okay.
So he's came up originally to Northway, but ended up in Kenny Lake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how about hunting? Were you much? Did you do much hunting?
Yeah, I got all kinds of.
Oh yeah.
Buffalo and caribou and everything. Yeah, I hunt.
And what places have you generally hunted?
Now the last 10 years or so, I'm on the north side of the highway. But I used to hunt the rivers with a boat. Mm-hmm. That's where this moose here came from, up the river.
What kind of boat then did you have, Howard?
Just an old aluminum.
Yeah.
So when you say the rivers, like down the Shoshana?
Up the Shoshana.
Did you ever go into the park from here, or mostly down in the refuge?
Just in the refuge. Now, I mined up in the park.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. You know, back in around 1980, around there someplace.
So were you up at Gold Hill?
Uh-huh. Up in on Gold Run.
And how did you get started doing that?
I don't know. We just kind of got into prospecting and wound up flying up there and getting into that.
So were you flying with somebody else you were prospecting with?
Yeah, Lud Larson flew us in from the airport. But I was up there, I don't know, maybe 3 years. And it's pretty good gold up there.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Yeah, I could get an ounce and a half in 30 minutes with a dredge, which is, back then, you know, gold wasn't even, I think it was $140 or something like that. But now it would be, at $1,300 it would be.
Different
story.
Is he heading back soon?
So do you still have a claim up there?
No.
Were you working your own claim?
No, I was Ivan.
Okay.
Ivan Thorold.
Yeah,
claims.
Sure.
But now you're looking more towards the Fairbanks area for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was that your first experience with mining when you were up at Gold Run?
Yeah, that was the first. Then after that, I went on the 40 mile for a couple of years. Down the 40 mile there. And
much luck down there?
Well, yeah, we done okay, but, you know, that no miner ever gets enough. You know, they said, you could be getting gold by the bucketfuls and you need not, you know, some more.
So you mentioned using, I think you mentioned using a dredge. So was that equipment that you took in, or was it equipment that was Ivan already had up there?
It was one that we flew in.
And then did you do the same kind of thing up on the 40 mile?
Well, I had a 5-inch. It was on the 40 mile. That I was using. This up there was like a 2.5.
Okay.
Because it was, the water was really limited.
Right. Yeah, I've wandered around up there.
Yeah.
So if you go over to Fairbanks, do you have to bring the equipment over there with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're just kind of at the exploration stage up that way?
Yeah. And it's getting out of where it's probably just wind up being recreational. That's hard work, running the dredge.
And then you were talking about fishing, the fish wheel down at Solana. How long have you been fishing down at Solana?
I don't know what year I first fished down there. Probably in the 70s.
And have you had a fish wheel fairly continuously down there since then?
Almost every year. And that was back when you didn't need a permit and all this stuff. You could just fish, you know.
Right.
And now it's gradually got into where it's... And then the park, they made the park, and then you needed another different permit. But everything's still the same. The river and the fish and the...
Other than you say the river's moving every year.
Yeah, the river's moved, but...
Yeah. And you were saying that a lot of people have been asking if they can use your wheel because they need fish.
They do, and and I just don't tell them no. I just figure out somewhere where they can have a day to fish.
Right.
Is it mostly people from Northway that are using your wheel?
Well, no, there's some from Togue.
And then you're building your own wheels?
Yeah.
Did somebody teach you how, or is it something that you just figured out on your own?
Well, if I look at something, right away I can make some changes on it and make it better.
Right. It sounds like you've got a lot of experience with construction kinds of projects.
Yeah. And my fish wheel only has one dipper.
Oh.
Don't have two.
Oh, interesting.
Oh. How do you balance it off then?
It don't have to.
Oh.
The dipper is here, and I've got three paddles on.
So you just have three paddles rather than two paddles and two baskets.
Well, the dipper's here, and straight across is your last paddle,
right.
I've got three more paddles here. So when the dipper comes, these paddles are right here in the water. brings that dipper right up to the top. Of course, gravity will make it go down.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing in the water down here to scare the fish out of the way.
Okay.
And whap, it comes down and catches them.
Mm-hmm.
And it catches four times as many as the wheel with two dippers.
That's pretty interesting.
It's nothing to scare them.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, you only have to make one dipper instead of two. And by it being an empty spot in underneath there, that's a chance for a log or debris to go through without hanging on something.
I was telling Leslie about a problem with a tree in the
and
wheel.
When you stop your wheel, then there's nothing in the water.
Uh-huh.
You can drag the wheel right out of the water, and you don't have to worry about lifting it up and down. It's nothing on the bottom. Sure works better.
So you're saying your children, do they use it too then, Howard?
Yeah, they get right in there and have their day, or 2 days.
I imagine then you put up your fish.
I went down there this year, and it was 179 reds in the wheel, and one king.
In a day?
Just overnight.
Yeah.
And I've got a live box, so
uh-huh.
It hangs down off the side of the float, so the fish are all alive. You know, you don't have to. I didn't like the dead ones that sit there all in the sun, you know, and when you. So with this live box, you got live fish, fresh.
Now, do you smoke them very much, or you mostly freeze or can?
All of them, yeah, can. And
yeah, you got a smokehouse down there?
No, we bring them back.
Oh.
Because I want the parts that we throw away to put in the garden.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good fertilizer.
Good fertilizer. I bring everything back.
Yeah.
And all the parts and pieces that we don't use goes into the garden for fertilizer.
Right. Do you ever have problems with bears?
No. No. We don't have our dog now, but he wouldn't let a bear come around.
Oh, sure.
You'd hear him just running up, going through the brush. He'd chasing the bear away.
Right. You get any moose down into your garden at all?
No.
You're okay that way.
We might now, since we don't have the dog.
But so far, not this year.
Not this year.
Right,
yeah. Do you do any fishing around here locally?
No, yeah, we fish for whitefish
uh-huh.
sometimes with the net. And then I like the burbot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's later on after it's freezing up.
So that's more a winter.
Yeah.
Winter kind of activity.
Yeah, I actually like the burbot better than I do a halibut.
Mm-hmm.
Do they fish under the ice? Put nets under the ice at all to fish?
No.
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 Do you use a set line for the burbot?
We just use set lines.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
Have you found when you were hunting, have the animals sort of changed over the years? Or noticed any difference with the landscape, with slumping or anything like that?
I think we've got more moose now than we used to have. In 1970, Fish and Game decided that they would have a cow hunt down here because it was too many moose. And, of course, when they opened this cow season, that's what makes the moose.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any moose for, I don't know, maybe 30 years. It just knocked them right down to almost nothing. And now, you know, here it is 40 years later, they're coming back now. So I hope they don't have another cow season down here and do that to the moose again.
How about other changes just in the land that you've seen since you've been here? Because you've been here quite a number of years.
I've saw places where the ice is melting out of the ground, you
like
know,
the permafrost.
And it's caving in. And it's causing the side of the hill to wash down and fill up the lake, and now that's just grass there. There's no water in it. And that's quite a few places I've saw that.
How about the growing season for your garden?
It
Has
seems
that changed?
It seems to be longer.
Longer both in the spring and in the fall, like warmer springs and later falls?
Well, the frost is a lot later in the fall.
In fall. And what about the winters? Some people are saying the winters aren't as cold as what they used to be. Or as long.
Well, back in the 60s and 70s, the winters would get, you know, we'd have 50 below for like 3 weeks straight, just every day, 60, sometimes more than 60 below. And now if it happens to get to 50 below, it's for one night, and that's it. It's back up to 20 again.
And the summers, are they hotter?
I think so.
Yeah.
Getting more rain.
This has been a rainy summer.
And it's good for the garden.
Yeah.
And it's good for the fire season. See, we haven't had any fires. I think there was one down at Kenai or someplace.
Yeah, there was one down there.
But the ones, there was nothing in here this year in the valley.
Have some years the fire's been bad?
Some years, yeah, it's really. And expensive, you know, that way they're really expensive for whoever pays for them, I guess the taxpayers.
You ever done firefighting then at all?
Oh, lots.
Howard,
yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of fire.
Big crews then that would come in?
Yeah. Well, way back it was the crew wasn't a certain size. They'd take out the whole village, you know, 25 or whatever was in it. Now I think they got the crew down to it's only 16 people is all they can.
Really? Is that because they have more sophisticated equipment and they don't need as many people, or is it just?
Well, that's what fits in this in a some of their airplanes easy. That amount.
Did they used to use the Northway Airport then for a lot of firefighting?
They'd bring in tanks and mix their retardant there a lot of times.
And now that that's gone, if there was fires around it, they'd have to come from somewhere else.
Well, if it was a big fire right here close by, they'd just bring tanks down and make their retardant right there at the airport. That way they could get the planes to the fire quicker.
So you talked a little bit about the fact that the park came in and you had to have a permit for your fishing. Are there other changes that you've noticed since the Wrangell St. Elias was created, or since the refuge was created?
Well, the refuge, they have you can't take a snow machine out there until the snow is like 6 inches or 8 inches deep or something like that. And I can remember trapping out there when it was just frost on the grass.
And you take a snow machine out then.
Right, the lakes would be froze over, and it's almost all lakes. You'd hardly run on the ground anyway out there. It was almost all lakes. And just wasn't any snow that year. And it had been like 25, 30 below. The lakes were just you know, mm-hmm. I don't know how thick the ice was, but I trapped and done real well. Mm-hmm. And I'd go from one lake through the grass over the next lake, and it didn't hurt anything. I mean, the refuge thinks that if you drive on the ground without snow on it, it ruins the ground, but it's froze. Mm-hmm. Can't hurt it.
So if Sherry's out there trapping, that she has to wait for the snow to get so deep before she can go out and...
Right.
Right. And down in the park, is it... You didn't trap down in the park, though. You just did the refuge.
I just did the refuge. Right.
Does Sherry go down into the park, or does she just do the same trap lines that you used to do?
I don't think she gets over into the park, into the reserve over there.
Right. And we were hoping to talk to her, but she's going in for surgery, she said, so maybe next time
we'll
come back and talk to her.
That's about all that...
Yeah,
I had on the list
of topics. To
we had a list of questions
or themes. Yeah. Can you think of anything else that's kind of important about living here?
Well, with not being in the city or a borough, you don't have that tax, mm-hmm. which I like that, and. And buy, I mean, we can go to Tok and buy food from the store there, whatever we need, grocery-wise. Just about as cheap as it is in town, or even cheaper, because they don't have that tax to deal with.
Right. Yeah.
And this winter, we were out in Seattle for a month, and the prices out there are much more than it is in Tok, much more expensive. Food and hotel rooms and whatever.
Do you go away often? How are you? It seems when you have a big garden and stuff, you have to stay home more.
Yeah, stay home more.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. This was very interesting.
Thank you very much.